What's up, fight fan? You are listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, July 17th, 2023, and this week's episode, Bueno Silva becomes a contender. We'll talk about UFC Vegas 77 and the bantamweight fight between Holly Holm and Mayra Bueno Silva. We'll talk about the latest in MMA news. We will have a new, or perhaps once again, light heavyweight champion after recent developments. And we'll recap once again more details regarding Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury. And we'll cap it off by talking about this coming Saturday's UFC event. Tom Aspinall makes his return against Marcin Tybura. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. The full summer protocol is in order. Do you have plans to stay cool? How are you doing it? Because it's like 95 degrees right now at 10 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time.
Let me tell you something. Everybody been complaining on the West Coast about, oh, longest winter, all this, all these girls, I'm ready to wear my bikinis and shorts, and it's like, and now suddenly it's like you have all these people, you know, posting their thermostat at 115, 108, yep. And I'm like, guys, is this not what you wanted? Dude, a tan and an excuse to go to the pool and the beach? I walked into my other place of business and they did not have the I don't know why it's not ventilated, but they did not have the air conditioner on overnight. I walk in, the thermostat says it is like 92 indoors, 95. Uh-huh. And let me tell you something, it felt like, you know, it was not a good feeling. So it's summer, and you know, the heat is real currently in the western part of the United States. What about you? How's the family? We doing good?
Yeah, we're good, man. We just you know, bring out the cooler, pull out the sunshades, you know, do what you got to do to keep the car seat cool. That's the main thing, because it's like a black seat in a black car, and it just gets so hot, and my poor dude's like you know, sweating. So they sell coolers. They sell ice packs for the car seat, in case you didn't know.
Oh, wow.
You freeze it, and you put it in the car seat before, you know, you have to time it right. So you got to do it before you're going to, like an hour before you're going to leave. It's a whole thing, man. And I love the summer. I love the winter. I don't complain about the seasons, but it is kind of, when you have a kid, it does change everything.
Low-key, I've never been ashamed to be the one that says, if it's that hot, I'm getting that frozen, like, towel neck thing that they sell.
You know? Yeah, okay.
And people are always like, you look like the biggest dork, and it's like, I don't care, it's 110. Anyway, but before we lose everybody, let's get into some MMA, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, here's complain about first world problems.
Exactly.
Holly Holm, Mayra Bueno Silva, second round, really just... quite the performance. It was one of those, I want to give full credit because I know the story is going to be, you know, 10 years younger, you know, changing of the guard and all that. This was a special performance by Mayra against a very, let's be honest, fewer women in that division are better veterans than Holly Holm.
Right.
Shot selection, aggression, I think just did a good job of not letting Holly get into that rhythm that when she wins her fights, she's just so, you know, it's so familiar when we see her out there.
Yep.
And look, just caught her out of position, and like the proverbial dog on the bone, just did not let go. Just put that squeeze on, gets the tap. Really kind of no notes except, you know, just well-executed strategy as much as it was. Or really just dialed in and found her marks, found them often, found them early, and just caught her brilliantly out of position. What about you?
It was surprising. You know, I think we both picked Holm last week.
Yeah.
However, I was perusing the Instagram Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon before the fight, and I saw your post, you know, to vote on who people thought was going to win, and I changed my mind and I picked Bueno Silva. And I don't know if you saw the results of your... At least when I did it, people were still...
A lot of people were going home.
They were still going home, which, again, that's what I picked last week, but I changed my mind. So, okay, not to say I was right. I'm not saying that at all. But it's just something about, like, on the day of, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm not so sure anymore. And as the fight started, I felt like Holly Holm still looked good. You know, she's very predictable and not necessarily in a bad way, but she uses her, you know, as her career has progressed in the UFC, she has incorporated a lot more of the clinch, of the pushing up against the fence, and it can get a little boring, but it's effective for her. Okay. So you know that she's going to sort of drive you to the cage with her punches, a flurry of punches or some kicks. And she was doing that. And the thing about Bueno Silva is that younger, tougher, just a literally physically bigger head, neck. And so I think she felt like, you know, Holm wasn't going to be able to land a knockout kick like she did on Betch Correa a long time ago. So she was not too concerned about the power, about the striking, and was able to process everything that Holly Holm was throwing at her. And then, you know, modify her reactions. And so she was doing that little by little, and she was landing some good punches. Her punches were definitely harder. That being said, I felt like Holly Holm still won the first round. Round two, of course, you know, Holm goes, what do they say? A wash, rinse, repeat, right? So she's ducking to try and go for the takedown. Bueno Silva had already seen that enough times in the fight, and she knew what to do. And it was fast, and it was tight. You feel for Holly Holm because there's this moment of when Nunes retires, oh man, I actually have a, you know, she always believed in herself, of course, that's Holly Holm, but I have a better chance now of getting back to that belt position, getting that belt back. And then you get derailed a little bit. Not to say she's out of the conversation, but it's going to be a while. And Bueno Silva, with her enthusiasm and her energy and her impassioned post-fight speech, made a strong case for herself. I'm wondering if Raquel Pennington is worried because you feel like the way Juliana Pena is keeping herself in the conversation has secured her spot, especially since she's actually a former champion. But Raquel Pennington, I don't know, you know, what do you think the UFC is going to do now? Do you think they respect Pennington's legacy and record over Bueno Silva's big win against a big name?
I mean, recency bias, right? I will say it kind of felt like, and I spoke with Raquel about this, and it just felt like, she awkwardly ended up the odd woman out, like, okay, looks like you may get the title shot. All right, they do Pena, they were gonna do, Nunes Pena, and then, so like she's back up, and then they go, or sorry, not back up, but then it's like, all right, so Raquel Aldana, title eliminator, let's go. And then there's the change up, and now there's the vacant title, and it's like, it's a little bit, yeah, Mayra Buena Silva stopping Holly Holm is a little more, just dramatic and all that than, Raquel's five-fight win streak and routs Ketlin earlier this year. It should be Raquel. I think the credentials say Raquel. I don't know if she's in that Leon Edwards, Belal Muhammad, Beneil Dariush kind of part of her career where it's like you got this long win streak that feels so precariously could, just, disappear because whatever, they have different plans for the title. I will say I did appreciate the execution, Mayra Buena Silva shooting her shot, and I think that that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Good finish, good speech. No notes there. I think you're in the conversation. I think now this becomes a very big thing. Like, what do you think the UFC will reward? Like you said, I think about this, and I'm gonna ask you this. You know how, for example, I've heard Henry Cejudo say this, and maybe it's because of I'm so, baked into this. Like a cake with the, and the chocolate chips are in the middle or something like that. He's out there saying, like, I went out there and he said, I was talking the trash and I was kicking the pillows. And I'm like, was kicking the pillows really making you a draw, Henry? Was it really selling pay-per-views, man? Like, oh, so you get out there with a, the fake cape from Party City and you're kicking these custom pillows out there with the faces on them. And it's like, did that sell units? Is that like, what are we talking about? That being said, so let me say this. You've got Pena talking some trash, you got Mayra Buena Silva with a great delivery. If UFC sees this as, no, we want someone who's out there trying to, quote, sell, is that being rewarded? Colby Covington, is this, I mean, he's been rather quiet. I will say that that's what makes him the biggest question mark, in all honesty. Is this being rewarded? Because if it is about rewarding the talkers in a division that has respectfully been rather stagnant over the last 2 years, then maybe you could see a scenario where Bueno Silva sneaks in there. But my impression is that we are waiting on finishing some timing and paperwork for Pena and Pennington. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that would be the right thing to do. And that's not necessarily, obviously, what usually happens or often happens. But yeah, that's what I would hope happens, and there's time. Like, Bueno Silva can marinate a little bit, you know, and if she's willing, can be the backup for this title shot. But I don't know, man. I mean, the UFC does crazy things, and Pena and Bueno Silva will do better, you know, back and forth. I'll have a better back and forth than Pena Pennington.
So, I don't know. I feel like Raquel and Pena have a good storyline because Raquel, I think, wants to talk a little trash lately. Yeah. Because, you know, remember, they were teammates on Tough.
On Tough, yeah.
On Team Tate. And then that feels so weird just to say it without saying Misha now because of the other Tate who's in the headlines for saying stuff a lot. but no.
Wait, who? Why am I not knowing that?
Andrew Tate.
Oh, Googling. That guy. You know what? I'm Googling. So out of the loop, man. I see that name, like, in my YouTube.
It's because of, like, you know, now with the influencer guys. Anyway, long story short, Raquel and Juliana would, I think, could sell if they start getting into the history. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Pena would hold that up and Raquel would meet her in the middle to, like, well, you know, not going to let you just bully me, Juliana, and let's go.
Yeah.
So. But once again, with Bueno Silva, one thing I will say is that you stop Holly Holm, I look at the division, normally I'd say you probably have to fight another one. You should. Anyone else is a step back if it's not the title. And so, if she really wants to stay active, you know, Ketlin Vieira, Penny Kianza to fight this Saturday, winner of that, something along those lines, I mean, go for it, but I almost feel like if you could get a good timetable for a title shot, just wait for it because you've earned it. Maybe Irene Aldana for the sake of just staying active, but anyone else will feel like a step back right this minute. So
yeah, that's fair, man. That's a really good point. And it's kind of like either you accept the step back or you sit on your haunches, dig in your heels, you know? So
yeah, but in your heart, you know the business. You know what's business, and you know what's merits. In your heart, what is the vacant bantamweight title fight? What's the one they make? I'll tell you. I feel Pena Pennington.
Yeah, they probably will. I'll tell you. This might be one of those where Dana White is looking at the landscape, and even though there was this exciting win over the weekend, I think he likes Pena. I'm sorry. I think he likes Pennington and respects her, and would just be willing to honor what is actual correct MMA math. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Jack Della Maddalena and that one with Basel. I mean, that was just a great scrap. If you had it the other way, I get it. But just, I mean, you know, the guy they probably wanted to win won, and then the other guy made a name for himself. So that's almost like a double victory for UFC. Obviously, you know, Basil probably was like, I would have loved to shock him on 5 days' notice and all this good stuff. Wasn't meant to be. The Norma Dumont, Chelsea Chandler. I mean, this thing's the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Oh my goodness.
Who was it, DC or Dominic Cruz? You know, since the communists, like, that's why they lock the octagon door.
Yep. Oh, and, you know, it's like running from your... DC's like, it's like me running from my mom with a belt. I mean,
oh, God, you know. Oh,
man.
You know what's crazy is that, like, she runs with so much, obviously, like, intent, right? You know, and it's... optically, it's so bad. You never want to be in that position. You know what's funny? when you see high-level fights and this happens, because I know the octagon is big, but it's like the fact that you can ever get into a position where you can do a 180 and just go the other way. I think of Overeem and Stipe. And mind you, Overeem, if you remember that fight, you know, K1 kickboxer, glory kickboxing champion, you know, all this, baddest guy. And it's like, you're telling me you have this super decorated kickboxing champion and he's literally getting turned around and running away from Stipe?
Yep.
And it's just like, you know, it's even Chelsea Chandler was like, it was at this moment I knew I'd something, like I'd messed up, whatever.
Yeah, that was funny, dude. Yeah.
I mean, she's still younger in her career, so there's plenty of time. But obviously, anytime, you know, so-and-so running from your problems, when your boss asks, does anyone want to stay late? Your bills, you know, your paycheck trying to run away from your bills, something like that.
Oh man!
The putting her in the track and field, the Terminator, the all this other stuff. Oh my gosh! Gift
dude,
that keeps
it's like
on giving.
It's yeah, it is, and it's, you know, there's other people who have done that. You mentioned, you know, the Stipe fight, and you know, Gustafsson kind of what something he would do, kind of a little shuffle away.
Yep.
Even Connor did it in the Nate Diaz fight.
Yep.
But it was always against the cage, you know. And turning back, it doesn't look, you know, awesome, but it's like, okay, this was a straight up
she picked up speed.
And run, man.
Like, she picked up speed.
Pumping her arms straight across the cage. That's just your instincts kicking in. You forget where you are. You don't care. You're running for your life. And, you know, she did the right thing by making fun of herself as soon as possible, because that's, you can't live that one down, but at least you smoothed out the edges, you know?
Yep, just eat it with a smile, right?
Yep.
Yeah, your fight or flight response. I think Dan Hardy famously had one, some similar situation. And, you know, he said something that's like, you know, depending on the situation, sometimes turning around and running away is intelligently defending yourself.
Yep.
And so, look, a lot of fights every week. And, you know, sometimes some stuff happens out there. Look, obviously a decent night of fights. I know when you're coming off International Fight Week, it's hard to say like, oh yeah, I'm ready to hunker down for another 5-6 hours of UFC, but you know, decent broadcast. Talking about more recent news, I believe it was Thursday night, Jamal Hill takes to his own YouTube, and I mean, let's be real, he threw the entire well, I guess not like earth-shaking, but he threw the business a curveball. Says he ruptured his Achilles, needs surgery and rehab. Will be vacating the title. He said, I'm aware that, like, look, this happened with Jiří and they had to move on. I'm aware that it's been a minute and now it's going to be even longer. So, you know, going to have to let it go and move on and keep the business rolling. Which, respectfully, you know, the division had been waiting. Obviously, the goal had to have been probably late this year, Jiří and Jamal, and just make it happen, you know, the real champ and all this stuff, right? I would imagine, I would have said, if you told me, like, it takes Jiří, you know, Jamal fought in January, if it was going to take him, like, another 11 months, I would have thought they would have booked him again, even if it wasn't against Jiří, just go Jamal Magomed, Jamal Blachowicz, whatever, and let's just, you know, call it macaroni. This now creates quite the, you know, quite the scenario, because we have a big fight with Blachowicz and Pereira next week. Magomed Ankalaev is out there. Alexander Rokic is coming back later this year, I believe, if possible, with the rehab. Obviously, Jiří is now closer to coming back than before. So, yeah, we have quite the scenario. I'll get into the Jamal stuff second, but what do you think about this news and what it could mean for the division?
It was, you know, shocking, surprising, and I watched his video, and you can just see the poor guy, you know, just ripping the Band-Aid off, and I admire the way he relinquished the belt. That's not easy to do. And, you know, it's interesting because I think part of that stems from the way that Jiří responded to his injury and sort of, you know, the samurai way of, you know, I'm just pulling myself out of the way of contention because I'm not able to fight. You're right, like the most honorable thing you can do. And Jemal Hill, it's like you're looking at the guy who did it before you. He's why you had that chance to fight for the belt, and so you know you have to do that too. That's not easy, man. So I was very impressed and, again, admire his response to that, because not only have you suffered this injury that everybody knows is painful to endure, painful to recover from, and a long journey of recovery, that's bad enough. And then you have to think about making this decision, a belt you just won. It's tough, man. He's going to be having a long, presumably a year layoff, where it's just, you know, you can only watch so much Netflix before you're like, what the heck do I do now? So I feel for the guy. And it does, however, you know, create an interesting scenario. So I'll toss it back to you for that, because that's, you know, some people are probably kind of happy.
If you were a light heavyweight, I could tell you, you know, you have it's bittersweet, right? At least. Yeah, the biggest example I could think of, I think it took Kobe Bryant like a year and some change when he ruptured his Achilles. Obviously, every athlete, every body is different in recovery, but I would put it in the same ballpark for Jamal, particularly being a bigger guy. I mean, he's, you know, very tall, you know, heavy, you know, light heavyweight. You know, you're probably north of 220, 230, right? So, you know, it's a big, big athlete, you know, a lot of weight to go on the feet and ankles again. If I had to put my finger on it, if Justin Gaethje or Dustin Poirier stubs their toe and is out next week, I promise you they would put a vacant title on Jan or Alex, plain and simple.
To replace the main event?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That being removed from the equation, I think you just have a great scenario. It works perfectly. The winner of Blachowicz and Pereira fights Jiří Prochazka. And let's see how much damage they take. Could we do this in December, January? Imagine they go back to Brazil next January, right? And you do Pereira Jiří, you know, samurai versus, you know, the Brazilian homecoming. Perfect. We've already talked about Blachowicz versus Jiří, all that Viking violence energy. Mm-hmm. Still haven't seen it, still want to see it. That sells easily. You could do it in Vegas, you could do it in Europe. And it sells well. Perfect. I just think that's kind of like a layup matchmaking. And I don't see, you know, once again, going back to December, I would have told you that Magomed was the one who just ran out of time but was on his way to winning it. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if UFC and him are just having issues, but it is very clear that he is not there's no onus from the promotion on him to talk about him and get him back out there. And so that leads me to be like, all right, well, if I'm taking this piece off the board, the only option is Jan or Alex against Jiří. And now it just depends on when will the winner of this one next week be ready. And for Jiří, like I said earlier, he's such an exciting and popular guy. I want to know that he has rehabbed that shoulder properly, because I want to have as many good fights from him as possible. Right. I don't want him to rush it just for, oh, the title shot is right there again. Uh-huh. He'll be at the top of the division no matter what when he gets back. Heal it properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, I agree with you. It's we'll see how this plays out next. What are they fighting next week, right?
Yep.
And there's a little more pressure, right? To not, you know, of course these guys are coming out to kill each other, but now it's like, okay, I don't have to beat the champion to get the belt. I just have to beat somebody, another contender, to get the belt. And that's different. So some added pressure there to perform well, to get that opportunity. And we shall see.
Yeah, I want to ask you this. So I know, look, MMA Junkie was there. The Schmo, being a part of the event, put it on his channel. This. Mm-hmm. It's not for charity. It just looks literally like a bragging rights basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Cormier's got a bunch of guys. You saw a lot of guys who were there for International Fight Week. Bilal Muhammad, Brandon Allen, PFL's Bubba Jenkins, other fighters you see out there, Phil Rowe, obviously. And they have a game. Look, I know they're athletes, but fighters, not basketball players, even though some of them have game, Kevin Holland and all of them. And it, look, reports are out there. I'm assuming they kind of happen, personal message. This basketball game is where Jamal Hill ruptures his Achilles. And, so I want to call it down the middle because it's very easy to take the low-hanging fruit when you hear this, right? Everyone's allowed to live their life and have their free time. I'm not saying they got to treat themselves like a little crystal teacup when they're not in training camp. But if I'm UFC, if I'm the powers that be, if I'm Dana White, and I've been trying to make Jamal versus Jiří, and I've been holding the division up, and I hear my light heavyweight champion ruptures his Achilles after having been out of action for 7 months, and it's because of this basketball game that didn't raise money for anybody outside of the participants involved. Yeah, I'm gonna toss it to you.
Yeah, I mean, this is why, like, I think all big major league sports, don't they have these clauses in the contract
Oh,
that you're not
yeah.
allowed to, jump out of an airplane and go jet skiing? I don't know. Some things like that, right? Is that true generally?
The basketball players are not allowed to skydive. They are not allowed to go snowboarding. Essentially, you say you will refrain from extreme sports
Extreme
because
sports.
you. I mean, okay, like, put it this way, LeBron James. You know how many jerseys he sells just from being active as a player during the year? I mean, like the guy, put it this way, if you haven't got a LeBron jersey by now, I mean, he's had so many years in the league and he's still like a top five seller. Think about that.
That's
So,
crazy.
what my point of that is that, yes, there are these clauses. UFC is different. For one, I feel like, look, financially, I don't think they feel like they're able to, get that guarantee, put a fighter on the hook to say, hey, bro, you make us this much money, we pay you this much money, it is in your contract, you are not going to ride a skateboard, you are not going to do anything that suggests you would seriously hurt yourself outside of, a training camp for the thing that we pay you a lot to do. So look, that's just not there. There's also the whole risk tolerance thing. These are guys who beat each other up. They're not throwing a ball in a hoop through the net to an end zone over a wall. But I still see this, and I couldn't help but think that Dana White probably called Daniel Cormier and said, if they are not retired, you are not allowed to have no, expletive basketball game just for your, sticks and giggles, put it that way.
Pretty much. And
I
I
mean, if
wonder.
Cormier ruptures his Achilles, that has no impact on him being able to sit at the booth for 6 hours on a
Exactly.
Saturday.
He can still sit there and talk on the microphone, but now Jamal Hill's. Okay, we're not blaming DC, obviously, but also I wouldn't have figured. And of course, these things are freak accidents, like. Kobe Bryant busts his Achilles playing basketball. He's a basketball player. Jamal Hill, I mean, how aggressive were they getting? I wouldn't have figured that someone who does MMA throwing kicks and, kicking heavy bags, kicking people's heads and shins, and that would have happened playing basketball. But, on the flip side, you are beating up your body in ways that, most major league sports, with the exception of, I would say, football. In a way that's way more intense than basketball, baseball, even hockey, I don't know, on the fence there. So, in general, is the body of an MMA athlete at the top of the game in a more fragile, generally in a more fragile state because of all the impact they're constantly putting on their joints? Probably, in that regard. So, it's just bad luck. mostly. And it sucks that it was doing something that's on tape, that's silly, that's just for fun. If it had happened in training, people would probably be less bothered by it, right? It's like, well, it's training, that's part of it. But doing something out of the realm of MMA sort of makes you go, ah, come on.
I mean, I saw the meme out there. You remember the Daniel Cormier UFC 200 finds out John Jones is
Yes.
positive. It's like, Dana, come on. And then it's like, so they had the thing, Dana telling DC he can't play basketball anymore after the Jamal Hill. And then it's like, the photo, Dana, come on. And it's like,
I'll
ay,
sign a waiver.
ay, ay. Right? But, okay, so not to be, physical therapist, but if you think about it, look, basketball players are aware of how much running, jumping, etc. There's a lot of focus on making sure, the back, knees, ankles, and legs in general are able to withstand this kind of pounding. You're not leaving the earth when you, unless you're Anthony Pettis, when you're fighting MMA.
Right.
You're very grounded, so while you are working a lot of legs and all that, legs are for the go, guns are for the show. You've heard this. Do I think that the MMA fighters are doing the level of calisthenics to make sure your ankles are good for basketball?
Nope.
No, but you're still talking about these pro athletes, who can run and jump faster than most people, playing hard. And so, yes, there is the probability that bumps and bruises happen, and we had a very serious one, unfortunately. So, yeah. They're more likely to be able to hurt themselves playing hard than, say your average Joe. I'm not saying out of shape average Joe, but your average person playing a little pickup at the park. So,
Yeah.
there we are. I am sure Dana White is looking forward to talking about all of this next week. We will get into that. The last piece of MMA news, more or less talking about, now that we have more details, Francis Ngannou, Tyson Fury, not an exhibition, it's a professional fight. About the only caveat comes from the organization WBC, which Tyson Fury, that's the championship. The championship belt he has that he won from Deontay Wilder, saying because Ngannou's not ranked, he wouldn't be eligible to win it if he beat Tyson. That's about the only caveat. Everything else, they can fight, they can knock each other down, they can knock each other out. All of the rules are the same. I'm sure there's going to be talks about getting the belt on the line if you're Ngannou. Tyson, he's probably just going to go with the flow, get paid, throw hands, etc. Natalie, when you hear the, oh, by the way, October, what is the date? I just looked at that.
28th.
28, Saudi Arabia.
Your favorite place.
Oh my God.
Not that
Look,
you don't
hey,
love
the
Saudi
Middle East
Arabia.
treated me nice.
Right, that's
I'll
what I
say that
mean. I'm
right
not
now.
trying to diss Saudi Arabia, but you were on record last week saying, I hope it's in LA.
I mean, can I just get somewhere where In-N-Out Burger, there's like five of them within 10 miles? You know what I mean? Anyway, I digress. Ngannou was offered in the neighborhood of $8 million to fight Jon Jones. He is expected to. I know Jake Paul threw it out there like it was his business or something, said eight figures, which, keep in mind that is in the, mid millions, if I'm not mistaken, doing my math correctly. I mean, so that could be,
Double digit millions, I guess, right? Like 10
Like
plus.
up to so eight figures can be 99 million. Just think about that,
Yeah.
100 million is nine figures, and then we're talking about you own a large company that sells a lot of things money. Anyway, my point is that what is my number one thing a fighter should do?
Secure the back.
My man Francis Ngannou secured the bag. Mission accomplished. Stay healthy, get in the ring. It's all yours, my dude. You hear this, you see this. We've talked about this. Will he get passed up for a big fight? Is it going to materialize? Is it not? It feels like it's not. And then we talked about it. Did PFL overpay a little bit? Is it going to convert into everything? Now we have more concrete details. What is your reaction after all that we've talked about with the PFL and Ngannou free agency announcement and signing and everything?
I'm so happy and relieved to have this matchup confirmed and on the books. And I'm really happy that Dana White didn't destroy this with his interfering, salty tweets about Jones Fury and his meddling and his, general bitterness about Ngannou, because I was worried that it was gonna throw a wrench in things. I'm so glad it didn't. I'm glad that Ngannou gets to, proceed with his plans of boxing the top boxers and the heavyweight boxers in the world, and it's freaking Tyson Fury, who was already game to do it, 2 years ago. It's awesome. We can talk about breakdown and skills and all that another day. Right now, I'm just happy this is happening. I know it's going to be a good fight. It's, they're going to probably charge so much pay-per-view. That's the only thing that I'm just like, ah, damn. Probably going to be over $100. I bet 120. That's my guess. But otherwise, I'm just over the moon about it, man. I'm so happy for Ngannou. Tyson Fury doesn't need the money, but it's a fun fight. He's a showman. And furthermore, again, to reiterate, I'm glad Dana White wasn't able to put the kibosh on this.
Yeah, obviously there was some gamesmanship and it got a little uncomfortable, right? I don't think that's unfair to say. In the end, Ngannou wins, and you said something that I've referenced a lot when I talk with people about this, the PFL, and it kind of felt like, okay, how much are you paying him, and are you overpaying him? And you brought it up as like, they are paying him for where he could be when he finally fights next year. And when you talk about the exposure of fighting Tyson Fury, this will be easily, even with everything going on, probably top five combat sport event this year. And that's between the Canelo stuff, Tank Garcia, UFC having a good year again, and everything else, Jake Paul, what have you. This potentially could be top three. If they get on a press tour tomorrow from everywhere, from America to the UK to Africa, I'm pretty sure that this is going to pop off like very few events have. The, feared knockout artist of the UFC against, obviously, the superstar of boxing right now at heavyweight and one of the consensus best guys in Tyson is just such a layup to promote. It's just so good. It's all of this. And when I think of just all of this with the PFL, everyone won. Ngannou's getting the bag. Ngannou got the fights. Ngannou got the opportunities that he felt were out there and that he didn't want to leave on the table. And he got it. There's no more of this now. It's about as good as it's gonna get. The PFL stuff we've talked about ad nauseum. Obviously, his fight purses are gonna be good, but then he sets himself up long term, potentially financially, with the whole PFL Africa part of this. So the fact that this is just a unquestioned W for Francis, and then for the business itself. I mean, I'm not saying every fighter should be going in. Should be splitting from UFC as a title holder, thinking this is going to happen for them. But for sure, as soon as there's one, there's always this feeling that it could happen for the next guy. And now that it officially has happened, I will say that this now creates a very interesting part of our business, because now that you know this is possible, it's not unheard of that another company will try to make it happen, because it is. And now that we've seen it, now that we know you could do it, we're going to see how far they could take it. Because, like we said, for PFL, this is huge. PFL is expected to probably, be able to be a part of this and get their brand out there as they help promote Francis in the fight. All of this good stuff.
Yeah, if PFL, was smart, and Francis Ngannou is, as we know, generous and considerate and always fair. He's fair. So if I'm PFL, I would have said, yeah, we'll sign you, we'll pay you a bajillion bucks, and you can have the year a year to go find a boxing match, but you need to let us be a sponsor in your boxing match. You got to wear some t-shirts, you know, you got to talk about how awesome we are, we're going to be on your shorts. You know, I hope that happened, but we'll see.
Imagine he's out there in like a PFL fight kit.
I mean, just a little logo on the shorts, right? There's room.
Oh yeah, there
Yeah.
it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, just my excitement is higher for it. I think you know what's funny, Natalie? Like, we haven't even talked about it. In 2 weeks we get Nate Diaz and Jake Paul. And I feel like it's almost the only reason we're talking about it is to talk about how we haven't been talking about it. Like, I see these videos, what's going on with Jake and Nate, and it's like it's like every week there's so much combat sports that this is the first time in so long where it's like, I would say first time ever, there's almost too much combat sports out there. I know it's ridiculous, but I think about it as someone who works in this and I get paid to talk about these things for crying out loud. I'm telling you, there's a lot. I can't imagine if I was a casual fan, if I would even have the patience to go watch all of these things every weekend. Like, oh, I want to watch the UFC main event and the boxing. Oh, and then I'm going to do this next Saturday. And next, no, you'd have so many people. Oh, well, what happened with, Crawford Spence? I didn't watch
I
it.
didn't watch it,
I
yeah.
was ready to watch something else. I want to go to a movie and this. I mean, there is so much every week.
Yeah.
And, it's like, I think about it now. If they told me they're going to have the Ngannou Fury press conference next Wednesday, I'd be like, psh, we got so much going on. UFC, Crawford Spence, Jake Paul, Nate, and then there's all the little stuff. PFL playoffs are coming up. ONE Championship is still doing their thing. Bellator is set to get back in action. It's like, all of this is happening, and it's like, like you're just drinking so that jug of water.
Yeah.
That's my one
My
thing.
sound
It's
effect,
like,
bro.
it's so, all right, that might have been bad, but you get what I mean. You've seen the cartoon.
Yep.
Anyway, it's like you have all this happen, and it's like, bruh, like there's too much MMA going on. So yeah, it's a great time. It's almost like it's a great time, but man, is it like, how does one even talk about all of these things? I'll leave it at that.
Yep, I agree.
Ay, let me go off on my tangent.
No, man, it's not. I feel you exactly the same way. Like, it's like I was thinking the same thing. Spence Crawford. I was like, oh, that's gonna be great. I'm probably not gonna watch that. It's just there's a lot of entertainment in our lives, and that's a good thing. That's a first world problem. But you know, you also don't want to miss out. Like, it's all good stuff for the most part. And but some you know, you can only there's only so much room, so much time in the day. And it is what it is. It is what it is.
Oh yeah, for sure. Look, obviously this Saturday, return to London for the UFC, and headlined by the return of Tom Aspinall after his knee injury about this time last year against Curtis Blaydes, taking on Marcin Tybura. Okay, so here's the thing. Probably objectively doesn't knock your socks off, right? On paper, oh, Aspinall against Marcin, certainly name value wise, it doesn't, wet the whistle like the Aspinall Curtis Blaydes fight did, right? Fair enough. I think you have to acknowledge when this fight is happening. It's happening at a time where Jon Jones said he's most likely going to retire. He has his fight booked against Stipe in November. Stipe's been out a minute. There's no indication that he is also planning to retire, but anytime a vet starts taking long layoffs, it's not the best feeling, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Sergey Pavlovich on a roll. Tom Aspinall, on the run that he was, and you consider the fact that the fight, ended in an injury with Blaydes and not, I'll say, a real loss, anything could have happened. You have a scenario where the winner on Saturday could be fighting for the heavyweight title if it's Aspinall in their next fight. And I think that's the real big appeal. For Marcin, look, he's a veteran, obviously been in there against several big names over the years, been with UFC, how long is it? 2016, fought plenty of big names, good wins, some losses in there, currently is on a two-fight win streak. There's plenty of reason to say he could be a handful for Tom Aspinall, you know, in his return.
Uh-huh.
That being said, now you had the X factor of the UK crowd. I've been there. I've seen it. Tom Aspinall has, like, his own cheer. Like, they have a thing. Like, they're not just, like, that generic football, soccer game chant that they do in Europe and Brazil. No, like...
Yeah.
He had a thing the fans were doing, and I'm like, bruh, this is a guy who wasn't even, like, I think he was trying to have first moment in the top five when I went. You know, hasn't had a belt yet or all any of this yet. So the love and the energy he's going to have out there, definitely, you can't say it's nothing. It's going to be something. Is that enough to carry him back to form against Marcin Tybura? We'll find out, but I'll toss it to you from there. How do you have this fight?
Well, yes, you know, veteran, Marcin Tybura, lots of experience and, you know, plenty to worry about if you're Tom Aspinall, but this is a moment of, I don't want to say redemption, but like a do-over for him, right, because of how that Blades fight ended with the injury. He's back in London. Hometown crowd, and this is, as you pointed out, on the precipice of, you know, title opportunities because of what's likely to happen with Jones should he win. So it's a big deal. And is he one of the fighters that does well in his hometown, or is he like, you know, no offense, Derek Lewis, who just cannot fight in Texas and Houston or any other city in Texas to save his life? I think he's going to rise to the occasion. He's faster. They're both hard hitters. I think he's faster, probably better ring intelligence or cage IQ. So I'm going Aspinall round three TKO, and I expect a lot of fanfare.
Ah, no, I was
not surprisingly.
Like, nah, really?
Really? In England?
No, let me tell you. When I tell you, like, I get what they say now, like, I'm not going to wax poetically again, but really, it's a real thing. Experiencing events out there is unlike anything I've experienced in the U.S. It really is something. You know what, with Marcin, I think he's kind of just got to take it to him. He's got to make him feel that knee early. He's got to disrupt that rhythm early, because I think if you have a patient fight, that will only favor Tom. And ironically, Tom, you know, what is this statistic? He's like, has the shortest amount of time for as many fights as he's had, something along those lines. Like, he's finished so many people quickly to the point that it's like, bruh, this is definitely something, right? So mm-hmm. I do think that there is something to be said for the, you know, how will Tom fight in this latest one? But I think what's going to happen is that Tom is going to just kind of try to prove a point early. I actually think even a little faster. I think that he's going to be amped up. I think he's going to be feeling himself. I'm going second round TKO for Mr. Aspinall.
Okay.
We're like back it. And times are good again.
Yep.
Yeah. Question. So do you... Will Tom Aspinall, if he wins... You know what? Maybe that's a question for next week. But I'll ask it anyway. Do you see him fighting for the title in his next fight if he wins?
Oh.
Like, I'm saying him and Pavlovich, vacant title. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. He's a star. He's young. He's got this, you know, strong European and British demographic following him, as you pointed out with the chant. So I would say yes. They're going to want a young, exciting guy back on the top of the heavyweight division. So... 100%, yes, he does get a title shot.
Yeah, I think it's too easy of a layup not to happen, right?
Right, yeah.
So I'll go from there also. What else? Obviously, next week, the BMF fight, Poirier, Gaethje, Blachowicz, Pereira, Paulo Costa against Ikram. Derek Lewis is back. Tony Ferguson, Bobby Green, Michael Chiesa. Smorgasbord, to say the least, of MMA action. And then not for nothing in boxing, Spence Crawford. And then not for nothing, Bellator in the morning in Japan, AJ McKee, Patricio Pitbull. Oh my gosh. And I think Kyoji for the flyweight title, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, Natalie, what are your thoughts? Is it going to next week?
Yeah, I mean, BMF, that's like we were talking about earlier, there's so much content out there, combat sports. You can try to watch it all or just, you know, decide to pick one and give it all your attention. Well, for me, it's going to be BMF. I'm assuming Spence Crawford is pay-per-view, in which case I'll, look out for the highlights from Twitter or other places. And, Bellator, that is interesting. I'll check it out, too. But BMF, Gaethje Poirier, that's the money fight, the one I want to watch, and Pereira Blachowicz also.
I mean, look, anytime you have those two out there, I mean, it's got to be excitement. I just like, okay, first off, for Saturday as a event, I'll say it like that, as an event, it's just, what's it called? It's expected to be exciting.
Yeah.
But then as a full day of action, it's almost like, I got to say, part of me almost doesn't like it because it's like, man, that's just so much. And it's like, you run out of energy, right? It's kind of like watching a movie all day. It's like, you know, with AJ and Patricky and whatever time they air it, it's just wild, right? So I just see all of that, first of all. But then just like as an event itself, it's so great. Obviously the BMF, but then I just think about the favorites on the undercard. Like, the top two are the top two, but it's like, when you go with Derek and Tony and these guys who've been favorites for so long and really looking for a victory, that for me is like, as a fan, this is one of those events that I'm like, you know, this is the one that, like, you sit down and you enjoy it with everybody because you really like it. Like, you've been following this sport a long time, and it's got all of your favorites on it. I miss these events. Not to say, look, the new kids are coming up, and if you love the Sean O'Malley's and all that, I get it. It's great. But for me, it's about all the fan favorites on the undercard that kind of are going to keep going towards the main event. That's where it's at for me. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, all of this stuff running concurrently, go for it. But yeah, it's just going to be a great night of action for sure.
Yep.
But guys, I will leave it at that. Next week, we'll break down all of the action. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week.